So we are going to be talking about taking your service dog to Disneyland, which I have not done. So all my questions are genuine curiosity, because I have absolutely no idea. But I know it's a big thing a lot of people like to do, and there's whole Facebook groups and all kinds of groups literally dedicated to just taking your service dog to Disneyland. I'm taking Lincoln to Universal in October, so I'm not making it over to Disney because it's a family trip, and then we had to decide between Universal and Disney. I was outvoted, which is totally fine, but I'll be taking him to Universal, which means I'll be doing a Universal episode probably in, I think, December, since Disney is like the kind of place to go. I want to make sure that everyone kind of knows what they're getting into, where the good spots are to potty, or where what rides are safe for your service dog. And then what do you do if you want to go on a ride and you can't bring your service dog? Because I know what the answer is to that one. But I think it's super, super fascinating, because when I've had my partner or other people who are not service dog people, you say stuff like, well, you can't go to an amusement park because you have a dog. What's the point? There's actually a solution to that, at least at Disney. So I'm super excited to go over all of this. So I think we're going to start with, how do you get to Disney? That's not necessarily an actual question, but flying. So we'll do a very, very quick, I want to do a whole, at least maybe mini episode on flying with a service dog. But since most people are going to be flying to get to Disney, I think we'll just cover that a little bit. And then a little bit about hotels or staying in an Airbnb and kind of how that works with a service dog. A lot of people are doing Ubers, how that works with a service dog. And then the actual park. Because all this stuff leading up to getting to Disney is all still part of the experience and what's scary for so many people. So
yeah, it really does become scary when you think about all the stuff you have to think about prior to even getting to Disney.
Oh yeah, like, so my partner, this is his first girlfriend, let alone person he's known, with a service animal, and the whole idea of going to Universal and getting in an Uber, getting on a plane, renting a car, having an Airbnb that's not pet friendly, all that stuff is so overwhelming, and he's not even the one with the dog, and he finds it overwhelming. So it's definitely a real mental struggle.
It really is. I mean, luckily I've been very fortunate with my husband. He kind of was just like, all right, we're going, so let's go. And he really never saw anything different, which I was very thankful for. But I can imagine it is really scary. I mean, we did, when we went down to Disney this past December, we actually took an Uber for the very first time. And honestly, I was kind of nervous myself, because I'm like, you know, it's not Disney, it's an Uber. Yeah. And luckily, they were actually really good about it. I didn't have any issues, which I hear so many stories about the Ubers, and I'm very fortunate I didn't have issues. But luckily, you know, my husband was like, you know, if they deny you, they deny you, you know, we'll find a different way. It's fine. So luckily, I'm fortunate in that aspect that my husband really doesn't really care that there's a dog involved.
Yeah, no, Uber's a legit problem. I have only used an Uber like 3 times ever that I've actually had to book an Uber. And only one of those times I had Lincoln with me, and it was on my way to an airport. I was in St. Louis visiting I'm Your Huckleberry, and I got an Uber at, like, you know, I had it scheduled from the night before, because you can schedule an Uber. And I had to get to the airport super early. Went, and oh my God, I knew the second this dude pulled up, he wasn't going to let me in the car. I knew it. Like, he had this brand new Tesla. Brand new. And I saw him pull up, and I was like, yep, he's not going to let me in the car. It was dark out. He didn't see Lincoln at first, so he came around to grab my luggage. Then he saw Lincoln, and oh, it was a hard no. Then he tried to lie to me, and he goes, well, I haven't taken the Uber service dog training course yet. And I literally said, there's no such thing. I know you're making that up. If you deny me, I'm going to report you for discrimination. And he begrudgingly took me to the airport. But it was a very uncomfortable process. He did argue with me for quite a long time before he even allowed the dog in the car. He kept telling me, it's a brand new car, I don't want a dog in it. And I said, I totally understand that, but then you shouldn't be working for Uber. And Yeah, no, we had a good argument, but in the end, I got to the airport. But no, that is definitely something people need to prepare for, is your Uber not wanting to take you. I try.
I mean, luckily at Disney, they do have options. So you don't have to take Ubers, which
Okay.
is definitely a bonus. I mean, you have your Disney transportation, which depending on what resort you're staying at, you either have the bus, a boat, or the Skyliner. Or if you're staying at the fancy resorts, you have the monorail. So, I mean, you do have options. And then they do also have what's called the mini vans, which are really cute. And we actually took them for the first time in January. And it was actually really nice, especially if you're going with a very large party. We wound up having to get two, which was no big deal. But they actually legit brought out a dog seat cover for my dog to sit onto the seat, not on the floor. And I was like, oh, no, she can sit on the floor. She's fine on the floor. They're like, no, please. We have car seat covers. Please allow her on the seat. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you know, I was like, I don't think this is supposed to work this way, but okay, I'm not arguing. And they brought out a car seat cover for her, and she sat on the seat like she does in, you know, any car that's not my car, because I have the kennels. And she absolutely was living life. And the entire drive, I forget where we were going, but the entire drive to wherever we were going, it was absolutely amazing. We talked about her and what she does. And then our driver was a major dog lover. And she was just like, she was then, once we got to our destination, she was showing me photos of her dog. Like, it was great. But while that is operated by Uber, it's Disney cast members. So it's a little different. And I think that's also why they're so accommodating to have those dogs in the car and not freak out. Because, I mean, there are so many service dogs in Disney World. It's sometimes unreal how many there truly are. I'll never forget the first time I went with my now retired dog. I was like, left, right, and center, there were service dogs everywhere. And I'm like, why are there so many? But there are so many because so many people travel to Disney. And it's kind of something you're going to have to prepare for if you are going to go to Disney World or even Disneyland or any other Disney's. You know, there are a lot of dogs there. Whether they're legitimate service dogs or not, that's the question. But, you know, I'm not to judge. You know, if you want to try to bring your pet, fine. I'm not judging you, but I prefer you not to, but whatever.
Why is it a problem? So what's the problem with someone just bringing their pet to Disney because they didn't want to pay for a dog sitter, or, you know, they say that, you know, their dog is well behaved or their dog is family and their dog should be allowed to come, whatever the excuse is. Why is that not a good thing?
I mean, it does hurt us people who do actually have legitimate service dogs. And I know luckily it has not happened with Lilo. I'm very thankful. But at least with my retired girl, B, there, I think it was probably like the second or third time I've ever been to Disney with her. And the dog that we had an interaction with was in one of the shops on Main Street in Magic Kingdom. It was the Emporium. It's the big, you know, the big store that's right on Main Street. And I was literally just shopping like every other person is in Disney World. And the dog was on a motorized scooter with a person, and the dog legit jumped out of the little basket that's on like the front and tried to come after B. And it took me by complete surprise because I didn't hear a dog. I didn't see a dog. I was literally looking at the huge wall they had, or at least had, of stuffed animals. So I wasn't looking out for another dog. And all my dog was doing was laying down sleeping. It was a hot day. And this dog jumped out of nowhere and came right up to my dog. Luckily, the dog did not do anything to my dog. All that dog did was smell. And I was like, whoa, there's a dog. And the person did pull the dog back. She did apologize. I know it's a major controversial thing of it's a fake. Your dog almost got attacked. Okay. My personal feeling is if the dog didn't do anything to my dog, then who am I to judge? The dog could just simply be having a really bad day. The person could be having a really bad day and not noticed. Like, it does suck when these dogs are brought into amusement parks or Disney World because, yes, we do see the difference. Us as a service dog community knows the difference. But a lot of people just think, oh, well, I'm staying at one of the pet friendly resorts. So why do I need to take my dog to the legit doggy daycare that's on property? Why can't I just take it into the park? Again, I can't really judge because I'm not that type of person, but if you're going to do it, at least make sure your dog's not going to go after another dog or bark in the middle of a ride or be pulling everywhere. But it does make it worse for us because then the security and the cast members, luckily, they are normally good enough to know the difference. But unfortunately, they don't really ask the two questions anymore like they used to. So any dog honestly seems to be getting in these days, which is not fun. But if you do, I mean, if you do run into another dog, simply walk away. You know, my thing has always been it's better to for me to remove my dog than it would be to stand there and take a video for, you know, evidence if the dog does anything. Honestly, I would rather get my dog out, keep my dog in the safety, than be like, oh, well, let's see how many people I can show this fake service dog off to.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's my personal reaction as well. The only time I personally, like if I was in a store or anywhere, is if I see the dog is truly becoming a hazard to other people, to the store itself, I would go to just talk, say to a manager, there's an out of control dog in one of your aisles. It appears to be disruptive to the public slash causing damage or is a danger to society. But other than that, I'm a walk away kind of person. I don't need to pick a fight. And most of the time, those people who do bring their very truly ill-behaved or dangerous dogs out into public and then claim it's fine, those are the people who will scream the loudest and fight you tooth and nail that you're the dog is the one with the problem. And honestly, I don't have time for that drama.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, you can always find a cast member if you're concerned or like the dog is, you know, legit showing aggression or whatever. You can always find a cast member or security guard in Disney. They're everywhere, obviously. So, you know, if you actually have a concern about it, go find a security guard. And most times they are really good about it. Sometimes, yes, unfortunately, you get a dud. But that's anywhere you go. It's not just Disney World.
Yeah. And so for people who, so they maybe get an Uber, get to the airport. Now, if someone has not flown with their dog before, if people are not aware, certain airlines do require your dog to have a DOT number, which Lincoln does have. So it's basically it's like a certification almost. It's just saying that he is in their system as a service dog, and certain flights such as Alaska, sometimes Delta, I know American Airlines also requires the DOT number. You have to submit it to your flight. saying there is a service dog that's going to be on the flight, and then they have to approve the service dog. I've never had a problem with them not approving it, but it's so that they know Southwest doesn't care. They just, you show up and they're like,
no, they don't.
Whatever. So I prefer to do Southwest. My main reason is I don't have to deal with the whole DOT getting him approved for the flight, just because it's always one more thing I have to worry about. But two, with Southwest, because you get to pick your seating, and I obviously will get disability seating, so like you get to board first with the elderly or with people with young kids or military, I can get that very first row that has all the leg room. And I find that makes a huge difference for a 70-pound Labrador. So I prefer Southwest just because I can get so much good leg room. And it's just a little bit easier not having to deal with the paperwork portion of getting approved for a flight.
Yeah, I mean, I only fly Southwest. I've only flown Southwest. Honestly, we do it more because the prices are better.
Yeah.
But it is true. I think I know with B, I would always get the front row because she liked to go in the corner. But with Lilo, she actually likes to go in a regular seat. But she also curls up like a cat. Unfortunately, she's been raised with cats and doesn't know that she is a dog. And so she likes to actually go in an actual seat. So I always go like the second row back, but I still like to get up close and, you know, towards the front, honestly, because then I can get off sooner and it's just easier for us.
I agree. We do, because Lincoln's big. He's a big dude. He needs the space. Now, he can curl up and do a little donut and do the regular seating. He's done it before. But unfortunately, because he's big, he, like a limb or a tail will be in the other person's foot space. And I've been very lucky. They've all been dog lovers and been so understanding that he just literally can't fit. But I don't want to also have to put other people in that situation. So I do try not to. But yeah, so DOT, I'm actually going to have a slide on Instagram that's actually going to show you the steps of getting your DOT number and the paperwork. I actually took legit screenshots of Lincoln's paperwork and how I submitted it. And I just blurred out my name and his actual DOT number. But all the information I took screenshots of to show people. So hopefully that'll be helpful. And then once you're in the airport, they do have doggy relief areas. They're called, I think, either pet relief or service dog relief areas. They're normally really stinky and super gross, but I always go use it. Even if my dog went to the bathroom outside, it gives me peace of mind. And then, you know, you wait and you board. I've never had an issue with flying. It's scary your first time, but it's really not. I've never had a crazy weird experience personally.
No, I haven't either. I've always trained my girls with actually doing the light rail, and because it's bumpy, it's noisy, you know, it does some herky jerkies. So I've always just trained them on the light rail and they've never had an issue with flying. I know some people have said bring a non-smelly chew for takeoff and landing. I've never done that. I've always, you know, I personally, with my girls, I've always just done like verbal praises and they've been fine. I think people honestly stress about it more, which is totally understandable. But most dogs actually don't realize the difference.
Yes. And fun fact, everyone worries, oh, you need to give them a chew so their ears don't pop. Dogs' ears do not pop.
They don't pop.
Their ear canals are not built like ours. That is false information.
No, they're shaped like an L.
Yep.
It doesn't pop.
Yep. And here's another issue with having the unsmelly treat, because it happened to me. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying something to be aware of. So what I did is I got I don't remember the brand, but it was like a half, it looked like half a ball cut in half. And then there was like a hard treat in the middle. It was supposed to be like a puzzle toy. So it was supposed to take them longer to work through. And so I was holding the ball part, the toy part, he was going to town on the inside where the hard treat was. And it fell out and it rolled around and it got lost. Fly just rolling through the plane. So,
oh no.
So just a heads up, if your dog is one of those dogs that likes to, like, both my dogs like to throw their stuff around, like to readjust their positions while they're chewing. They're not laying one spot chew. They want to interact with the chew. They want to get comfortable. They want to move stuff around, and we lost it. So just a warning, if you know, if you're taking off and you're not holding on to that chew, there's a good chance it's just gonna roll away. So
yes,
be careful, because then you heard someone, I heard someone behind me go, did someone lose something? And I was like, I am so sorry. But yeah, at this point, I just do, depending on the length of the flight, I'll just do either praise. The very first time he took off, I did do treats. But I like what you said about the monorail. What I did to prepare was actually an elevator, but like a really crummy old elevator that, like, you question whether or not you're going to make it to the second floor.
Oh my gosh.
Because it jerks, it wobbles, you can feel the lift as it starts moving. And so that's how I kind of got him used to that feeling. But really, so many dogs, you know, they might have a few seconds of, ooh, this is weird, I don't know what this is. It's not as scary as a lot of people. And if you genuinely don't know if your dog can handle it, then you're not ready. Yeah, but you.
Yeah, know. I mean, if you don't think that your dog can truly handle it, which, I mean, I know I've been with friends before that they're like, I don't know if my dog can handle it. And we would go out and do, like, a butt ton of training on public transportation and some things like going to, like, Home Depot or Lowe's and putting them on the carts, because, you know, never at Home Depot or Lowe's are the carts ever stable.
Yeah.
And we would just, like, jerk them around. And, you know, if they were fine on that, we felt that it was, you know, good that we could actually fly. And if you actually, you know, think about it, I know I personally, I always have my dogs in a down, which you should do anyway. But the only part that is truly herky jerky is your takeoff and landing. Yes. Once you're up in the air, unless you hit turbulence, you're smooth sailing. And I know for me, what works best for my dogs is when we come to land, because poor Lilo has hit her head so many times, is I will actually flip her around so her butt is facing either the front row with the barrier or her butt is underneath the seat. That way she doesn't hit her head, because most of those pilots, while they're good, they slam on those brakes because they have to.
Yes.
And
oh my gosh, they do.
Dogs are always going to move. That's why they tell you, watch your heads, because the luggage can move. No different than a dog. They can move too. You are strapped in by a seatbelt. They are not.
Yes.
So I've always, you know, made sure that with Lilo, her butt is flipped around and her head is facing me. That way she does not hit her head. And then also when you take off, I actually then I make sure she's flipped the other way so her butt is against me, because she does slide.
Yes.
It's one of those things you do, unfortunately, have to find your own rhythm for what works for you and your dog. But as long as, you know, your dog has a pretty good downstay and your dog really could care less about cars and some other transportations, you really should be okay, because it's truly not as bad as most people think. Me personally, I think the worst part is honestly getting through TSA.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Let's talk about TSA really quick. So
I really do think it's the worst. I always, like, panic.
Yes. And I will say, every single time you go through TSA, someone will tell you something different.
Yes.
It's just be aware and just know it depends on what person you get. I've had some people say, keep all his gear on, we don't care. I've had some people say he needs to be completely naked, including no leash, which if you read the TSA rules, it says the dog is not allowed to not have a leash on because then they are considered not under control. So just acknowledge, because I've argued with them and said, I have read your actual TSA rules online, and they say the dog must have some kind of leash on to be considered under control, and then I'll be told to take the leash off. So just acknowledge that you're going to get told different stuff. Most of the time, they will pat down your dog. It's Lincoln's favorite part of the whole thing. He's like, yes, this is awesome. Normally what happens, you either go through with your dog or you go through first and then recall your dog through. I tend to find that when they see you with your service dog, they like, it's awesome. So instead of waiting in the whole line, they'll pull you up front to go through like the special door for like people with wheelchairs or minors unattended. And so you kind of get a little bit nicer treatment, which is always kind of nice.
Yeah, you do. You do get a little bit special sometimes, not all the time. Yeah. But like this last time I flew, they saw me coming through the line before I even checked my ticket and ID. And they already had me like out of line, like in a special line. And I was like, okay. But then it was like, so what happens? Does my husband come with me or not?
Yes. But oh my gosh.
I was like, what do I do? But luckily he did come with me and everything was fine. But that actually specific time, they told me I had to remove everything from Lilo, including her, because she wears the Seresto flea and tick collar, including the Seresto collar.
What? Oh, that I have not. I'm had. Like, that's a new one.
What? I mean, like, okay, fine. And I always fly normally that first flight out, because especially if we're going with my parents, my dad wants to be there first thing because it's not considered a whole day at Disney if you're not there first thing. It's the dumbest mentality, but whatever. And so we're always on that like 6:15, 6:30 flight. So we're there getting through TSA at like 5 a.m. I'm not a morning person. I'm not going to argue with you that I don't have to take my dog's flea and tick collar off. It's so much easier to just be like, okay, you know, we'll do. Thank you. Whip it off. It takes 5 seconds to put back on. It's not worth the headache to argue. If they tell you to take it all off, if they tell you, I mean, unless you actually like need the gear to walk through, then that's a whole different story. If it is a issue of, you know, you just have a simple vest on your dog and they tell you to take it off, just take it off. It's really not worth the argue, because then most TSA agents get very angry. And yes. I mean, they work with the public all day. I can't blame them. So it's so much easier to just simply take it off. Don't argue. You can then, once you're on the other side of the checkpoint, put it back on. Get your dog back into working mode. Because I know me personally, my Lilo is the guiltiest of guilty dogs I've ever had. That the minute that vest comes off, she's ready to, you know, be a dog. And it's like, nope, we can't do that. And so that has been a learning curve for us personally. It's not worth that headache to argue with them. Well, my dog doesn't need to take gear off. Just simply take the gear off and go through. Get on your other side and put it back on.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not worth the hassle. It's not worth the argument. It's, again, like you said, these people are dealing with the public, and normally the crankiest, most annoyed portion of the public. You know?
Yes.
It's not worth it. They're just people trying to do their job. And most likely they're doing what they were told. You know, they are doing what they were told to do. And you know what? I just move on. And go through, do whatever they ask. Again, it's different each time. It's the same as whether or not, you know, some of them make you take your shoes off or not. You just do it. Just do what they say.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we have about, because of course I am trying to not have to pay for the upgrade, but I'm thinking it's just going to be way too inconvenient to have to do this each time. But, we have 4 minutes left, so when it gets down to like the last minute, we'll just both re-log in to the same link and just continue.
Okay.
Yeah, so TSA is not too bad. Flight's not too bad. You get off. So, I mean, I guess the next step would be hotels, Airbnbs, as most people probably have already experienced before doing Disney. You know, a service dog's allowed in any non-pet friendly facility that the general public's allowed to go into. So that does include Airbnbs, hotels. I will say this, this is just personal to me. I do try to find pet friendly Airbnbs, even though my service dog can be a not pet friendly. Whenever I go, if I'm choosing to use an Airbnb, I do try to find pet friendly. I think it's fair to the person that they, if they already are fine with an animal being in their house, then it just eliminates so many issues or potential issues. If you can only find a place that's not pet friendly, I personally do let them know there is going to be a service dog, because to me, if there's going to be an issue with not allowing me in that Airbnb, I do not want to find out while I'm standing at the front door. So I would rather find out there's going to be an accessibility issue 3 weeks before I'm going on this vacation than find out when I'm standing at the front door and they're saying absolutely not. So the way I handle it is I literally just, I go to, you know, request the room or the house or whatever it is. And then I send a private message and I say, hey, you know, thank you so much. We're so excited to come. And then I just make it a generic. There's a member in our party who has a task trained service dog that mitigates their disability. I always put those words because to me, that sounds more legit. You're using words that fakes don't really know. So people who are faking their service dogs don't tend to know about tasks, don't tend to know about the language using to mitigate a disability. So I definitely put a task trained service dog to mitigate a disability. And then I also say any poop in the yard will be picked up and disposed of appropriately. I know we're going to Florida next month and the house has a pool. So I mentioned in the letter, you know, the dog will not be allowed in your pool. The dog will not be left unattended in your house at any time, and will not be allowed on the furniture, because those are the things these people are worried about. You know, it's their house. They're not saying pet friendly for a reason. So I want to cover the bases of the things I personally know they're probably worried about. Is this dog going to jump in my pool? Then there's going to be hair all in my pool. Is this dog going to be on all my furniture and get hair all over my furniture? Is the dog going to be left unattended in the house and then chew up my carpets? You know, those are things that there's a reason they did not put they were pet friendly. So I just like to acknowledge and get all those fears just taken away by saying, you know, I'm going to pick up the poop in the yard. They're not going to go in your pool. You know, I won't let him on your furniture and the dog will not be left unattended in your house. Again, I've covered all the bases of things they're going to be afraid of. And then if there's still an accessibility issue, then I don't want to stay there because honestly, I don't want to deal with it. So I try to cover all those bases with that person in a message. And normally I get a message back that goes, oh my gosh, thank you so much for letting me know. I appreciate that you let me know the dog's, you know, not going to be, you know, on my furniture or chewing my carpets or whatever the case may be. They're always so grateful. And they're always like, yes, you know, thank you. Welcome. Let me know if you have any issues. So I've found very good success with that. All right. We're at our last minute. All right. So we covered flying, TSA, not Airbnbs and Ubers. So we're officially hypothetically at Disney. What do we do? Do we need to talk to someone? Is there like a disability desk we need to check in at? Or can you just walk the heck on in?
Well, there are two ways you can do it. If you do have a problem with whatever your disability is, standing in line, you will need to talk to the guest relations people. Now, that has changed. You used to have to do that at the park when you got there. Now that's actually done all through the Disney app. And it's actually much nicer because you do it at home. And you can do it, I want to say it's up to 30 days prior to your trip. And they'll ask you the same questions they ask you in the park. Basically, why do you need it? And how many people are in your party? Now, I have heard other people have been asked different questions. Those are personally the two questions I've been asked. Now, a lot of people are like, well, I'm not getting into my disability. That's fine. You don't have to. Me personally, I say I have POTS, EDS, and they're like, all righty, cool. But if you just simply, summarize why you can't stand in a line, then that's fine. They are also now cracking down on it because a lot of people would also get it if they were in a wheelchair. Now you can't. That's not considered one of the acceptable
Oh, really?
things. And yeah, because technically you're not standing in line because you have a wheelchair. You're sitting. So it has, unfortunately, because so many people have taken advantage of it. They have cracked down on it, and it is harder to get these days, but it's not the worst. And as long as honestly you're polite to them, you explain, you either say full well on out what you have that makes you can't stand in line, or you summarize why you can't stand in line. They're normally pretty good about it, but it is nice that you can now do it online and you can do it from home prior to your trip. That way, when you do get there, you just go. You clock in, well, not clock in, but you scan your Magic Band, get into the park, and instead of now going up to every single ride that you want to go on, so let's say you want to go on Haunted Mansion, it's a 45-minute wait. What you would have to do is either go up to the ride or go up to one of the people under the blue umbrellas, which are the guest relations, and say, I want a return time for Haunted Mansion. They would look up the wait time, the current wait time, and they would say, okay, it's a 45-minute wait, and here's your return time. Come back at 12:15. You can get on the ride. And then you go through the fast pass lane. Well, it's not fast pass anymore. It's now lightning lane. But you can also now do everything through the app. You
Really?
can do, yes, it is honestly, personally, I love it. I'm not like a techie person, but I love the fact that I don't have to bounce around the entire park going like, I want to go on Big Thunder. Well, now I want to go on It's a Small World. Because then literally, and now grant, It's a Small World. Don't waste your time on getting a return time for It's a Small World. It's not worth it.
Oh, okay.
But there's never any wait for It's a Small World.
Oh, really?
I think I've maybe waited a total of 2 minutes every
Really?
single trip I've ever gone on for It's a Small World.
Is it not
And
popular, or is it because they can get so many people in so fast?
it's a mixture of both. Because yes, you can fit a lot of people in pretty quickly. But also, it's one of those rides that it's like, unless you have a kid, why are you going on it for birthday?
Fair enough.
I mean, it is just one of those rides. I mean, I know personally I like the ride. My aunt loved the ride, so we would always go on the ride. But unless you have a kid or you just honestly want to take a little bit of a break and sit down, it's not worth getting a return time for It's a Small World. I mean,
Fair enough.
save those for your bigger attractions like Big Thunder Mountain, Space Mountain, Splash. Well, oh no, Splash Mountain's not there anymore. That's right. Oh,
I
that's sad.
know, that's new too.
Yeah, now it's going to be Tiana's Bayou Adventure, I think it's the new name, but it hasn't opened yet. But, like save your return times for the bigger rides and the rides that honestly are going to have the longer wait times. And we would always go to lunch somewhere or grab a snack somewhere. And that's when I would pick my next return time through the app. Because then you're inside, well, most times you're inside in air conditioning. You can sit down, relax, enjoy your lunch or dinner or whatever. And then when you're done, get up and you can go to your next ride. And Then once you clock into your ride, then you can pick your next return time through the app. So I know I've been on Haunted Mansion before, and my husband loves Haunted Mansion, so he's like in like absolute love land, and I'm over here on my phone picking our next return time. So I mean, you can do it that way too. So it is a better system doing it all through the app. I personally like it so much better than having to go out to every single ride and being like, I need a return time.
Oh,
Because
okay.
it just got annoying. Because especially with like like Galaxy's Edge.
Okay, yeah.
The I personally am not a Star Wars fan. I don't like Star Wars, never have, never will. But Rise of the Resistance is actually a really, really cool ride. But it's always a long, long line. And with me, who really doesn't like Star Wars, I don't want to have to wait in Galaxy's Edge for, an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever the wait time is, literally picking my nose in Galaxy's Edge where I could care less. So
Yeah.
I can do it on the app and then go see a show or something. I mean, I personally love the Frozen show. Go see the Frozen, sing along show or Indiana Jones or whatever. Like, you can do other stuff that way you don't have, and you don't have to go to the ride, get your return time, and then hike it all the way back to the front of the park.
Yeah, no,
That to
that's
me
smart.
is, yeah, I mean, I know you're going to be walking a lot anyway in Disney World, but that just adds to it. And that adds to the joint pains and all that stuff. So it's like, it's not worth it. But now, since you can do it through the app, it's great. I love it. I highly recommend downloading the Disney app. That way you can do it online. And honestly, if you ever had any questions, the actual Disney website is amazing. They literally spell everything out for you, what you need to do, what conditions qualify for the Dash Pass, which conditions don't, how to get it, how to go about the process of doing it online versus in the park. So if you ever do have questions, you can just simply go onto the website and it's all spelled out for you.
That is super convenient. Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. I didn't know it was going to be that easy, honestly.
It really is. And there, I know when I did it for the first time this last trip we took in January. And it was so much easier that I could just sit at my desk, call, not well, like you have to, it is like a FaceTime with Disney and it's with one of their cast members. And it was so nice that I could just sit at home and do it. And I explained, why I needed it. And I had a service dog. It was awesome. And they're like, already, no problem. It gets added right to your Disney account. And you don't have to worry about it. It goes right onto your Magic Band. Or if you use your phone through the Apple, you can use your phone for your ticket. It gets added right onto there. And so it's just automatically linked. You don't have to worry about it.
Oh my
It's
gosh, that is
awesome.
so awesome.
It really is. It's very convenient. I love it.
Wow, so you walk on in and so what happens? Okay, so here's a good question that, 'cause I personally don't ride rides, it runs in my family like extreme motion sick. I'm talking like the carousel makes me want to throw up. Like
That's sad.
yeah, it is. No, and it's like literally runs in my family. My mom has it. I think her mom has it. Like it's, we all get insanely motion sick. Can't sit the wrong way on a train, like facing the opposite direction, you're moving. Oh yeah, whole nine yards. It's awful. But so let's say you're there, you want to go on rides. Like, can service dogs go with you? And if not, where do you put them? What do you do?
So most rides, yes, they can get on. And
Really?
it's really nice that most of them they can get on. The rule is if it is a ride that does not have a height minimum, they can go on. The only exception is Peter Pan. That
Okay.
is the only ride that does not have a height restriction, well, height minimum, but they cannot get on. And the reason for that is because of the way they evacuate. If there is an emergency, the way you're evacuating is through ladders. And because you're pretending to be, flying over, Neverland. And so you're up in the air. And obviously, if there's an emergency, you have to get out. They're taking you down through like legit ladders, or there are steps built into the side of the actual ride. But it's not safe for dogs. So for the rides that they can't go on, there's two options. You can either do a kennel, and all the rides that they can't go on, there is a kennel option, and the kennel is always there. Or you can do a rider swap. Personally, I do the kennel. It's just easier for us. But the rider swap is where you send, like, some of your party goes on, one person stays out with your dog, and then you switch. So it also is the same with if you have like a baby or a toddler that can't go on those rides, same thing. But personally, the kennel option is really, as long as your dog is okay with being kenneled, it's actually a lot easier because then you don't have to worry about, then with doing the rider swap, you don't have to wait again in line, but you're gonna have to wait at least like one or two cycles through. And sometimes that really, really is a pain. So I personally have always just done the kennel. And some of the rides are better than others. Some of the rides have the kennels right as you're leaving, so everybody's walking past the dog. And I know, not for my dog, but I know I have heard dogs barking at the people, and it's like, that's not okay. So if you have a dog that really doesn't like being kenneled, then the rider swap or having a person who doesn't want to ride is going to be your best bet. But
Okay.
if you have a dog that doesn't care about being kenneled, you have that option, and honestly, I would always take that option. And there is a cast member standing there with your dog. So it's not like anybody is going to let your dog out and your dog's going to go running through Magic Kingdom. Like, that's not going to happen. Some positions of the kennels are better than others. I know for if you do any of the rides like Flights of Passage, Soarin', they're all in like a little separate room. And it's really nice because then it's
Ooh.
quiet. There's a person there watching them. I know the people that have always been watching my dog have been like, oh my gosh, this is the best day ever. I get to watch a dog. Like, they're always so excited. So it's one of those things, you just have to know what's best for your dog.
Yeah.
It really just depends. But if it's a ride that your dog can go on, then as long as you think they're going to be okay, take them on it. Because I know I have so many photos of my dogs on the rides, and it's always so much fun. The only rule is normally it's your boat rides they can get on. The only rule that they really truly have is your dog needs to be on the ground.
Okay.
That's kind of common sense. Like, your dog's not going to be up on the seat. Now, I know I went with a friend and we went on the, I don't actually remember the name of the ride. I just call it the Mexico ride because I don't actually know what it's called. But it's the ride that's in Mexico in Epcot. And they legit told us that the dog needed to be on the seat. And
Oh,
I'm like, what?
that's a first.
Yes. So again, it's kind of like going back to TSA. Whatever they tell you, just do.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they will automatically put you in a handicap row. Like, I know living with the land, they always put me in handicap no matter what.
Yeah.
Even though even if I'm not in my wheelchair at that time, they will still put me in the handicap, which is fine. It's the back of the boat. There's a huge open area for a wheelchair. It's awesome. The dog can lay right there. When it comes to doing Animal Kingdom, doing the safari, which they can go on, you have to get the special truck that is the handicap accessible one, and you are in the first two rows, and your dog is tethered to the truck.
Okay.
Now, if that is all for safety for your dog and for the animals, I will warn you though that that ride, if you've never been on it, it is extremely bumpy. There is a reason they say if you are pregnant, do not get on that ride because it is so bumpy. I know for what works best for my dogs is to be, if I'm the front row, to be literally sitting up the whole ride right in front of me because then I can hold on to them and they're not going to thrash around because they do have to be in that area. But if you put them in the actual wheelchair area, they're thrashing around left and right. And they're potentially hitting their head, their body. It's not a good situation sometimes. So I've always had them sit up. They look at the animals. I know Lilo's more interested than Bee ever was, but they can look at the animals as long as they don't bark. If they start barking, they will stop the ride, or at least that's what I've been told. They will stop the ride and actually get you off of the ride because of the disturbance of the animals.
That
And
makes sense.
yeah, I mean, these are wild animals. They, as much as people think they're animatronics for whatever reason, they're legit wild animals. And they can come right up to the truck. So
Oh,
if you
wow.
ever have any hesitation, your dog's never seen a giraffe, a what else do they have on that ride? A zebra. Or basically, if your dog's never been to a zoo, maybe not go on that ride. Or
Okay.
go do training first and see how your dog reacts. Because I've been on the receiving, waiting for the truck to come around, where I've seen a dog get off that is like, you can tell, is just so overstimulated on that ride, and they don't know what just hit them. And it's really sad. It's
Oh.
sad to see because it's not fair to the dog.
No.
And honestly, if I don't know if it was a legitimate one, I don't care. But if that was a legitimate dog, then is your dog even going to alert to you? Like, I know my dog probably wouldn't. So, definitely finding, if you think your dog's not going to have a good experience on a ride, don't take them on. Have somebody either sit out with them or do the kennel. You can technically request a kennel for the rides that they can go on if you don't think your dog will be okay. I've never actually seen it happen, but I know you can do it. And I've never done it because my dog loves the rides. So I know for her personally, she would actually rather be with me on the ride and having a good time herself than being in a kennel, especially on like the teacups or Dumbo. Loves those rides.
Oh, okay. Nice. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. And so if you are going into the different, there's Animal Kingdom, there's Around the World, like are kind of the rules all the same, or do you need to go like,
Yes.
okay.
They're all the same. If you ever don't know if your dog can ride that ride, you can always ask them at the very beginning, like, can my dog ride this with me? Or, like I said, the app is amazing and they actually have listed all the ones that they cannot go on. So if it is listed on the app, then they can't go on it. You have to use a kennel or a rider swap. But if it isn't listed, they can go on it. And if you choose to, like in your situation, you can't really go on rides. If you have a person like that in your party and they don't mind watching your dog, if you don't think your dog's going to be okay on the ride, just have them do that. There's plenty of shaded area. I can't even tell you how many times my dog has stayed out of a ride because she can't go on it. And my mom's the same way. She gets horrible, horrible motion sickness. And so she'll stay out with my mom and everyone else will go on. And my mom will go get her like carrots or she'll go get her some water or something. So there's so much around. And honestly, pretty much every single cast member loves seeing the dogs there. So it's kind of also really nice because you know that you're not really going to have too many issues, especially at Starbucks in MGM. Well, Hollywood Studios, still MGM to me. And if you go like into like the Starbucks in MGM, they always give them water and puppuccinos. So yeah, I mean it's like one of those things. If you don't think your dog's gonna like a ride, just have your dog stay out. It's not worth, one, ruining your time, but two, also potentially ruining, well, not ruining, but traumatizing your dog.
Yeah, oh my gosh, for sure. And
I mean, I traumatized my poor retired girl, going on teacups, so we'll never do
oh.
that. She hated that.
Oh my gosh, that would one, I'd be sick as heck, but no, that sounds awful.
Yeah, she absolutely hated that. She was pretty mad at me for the rest of that day. But then
Oh.
there's my current girl who literally was like, "This is the best thing ever." So, I
It's
mean,
so funny how different they can be.
yeah, every dog's different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, if so, let's say you're having a busy day at Disney. Where do you take your dog to go to the bathroom?
So when it comes to potting, the actual rule in Disney is you can use any open area as long as you clean up after your dog.
Okay.
Now, they do have specific potty areas. Some are better than others. And my personal favorite is in Magic Kingdom by the train station in by the circus. That one to me is personally the best. It's the biggest and it's also gated. So it's
Oh.
really nice. Now, unfortunately, the train has reopened. When the train was shut down when they were building Tron, it was so much nicer because nobody was back there. But now that the train has reopened, a lot of people are back there again. And so it does get busy, but it's fully fenced in. Well, it's not fully fenced in, but it is three quarters of the way fenced in. So if your dog is good off leash, I know I let my dog off leash back in there, and she actually goes up into the bushes and goes to the bathroom. As long as you clean up after your dog, it's fine. I've gotten off of some rides where my dog's like, "I have to go to the bathroom now," and I haven't been able to make it to a potty area. So any grass really will do. That is their rule. I have been yelled at before, being like, "You can't use that, to have your dog go potty." And it's like, no, that's actually the policy. But they kind of got like a little snitty with me about it. But as long as you're respectful and I know when that personally happened to me, I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize." And I moved on
Yeah.
because I didn't actually want to get into any major confrontations with anybody. So as long as you are respectful, if somebody says something, just move on. Find the potty areas. They're mainly by the human bathrooms. And they're normally like off to the side of the human bathroom. Some aren't, but most are. And just have your dog go potty there. But they're normally really good about it as long as you clean up after your dog. But
Yes,
make sure
that
you
makes
clean up
sense.
after your dog. I've been to potty areas where there's like legit piles of poop. And I'm like, that's disgusting. Pick it up. If you have a dog, you have a responsibility. Clean it up.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. Now, what do you do if you're if you want to go meet cast members? What's the rule with cast members and service dogs?
You mean characters?
Yes. Sorry, I've haven't
Was
been to
like, cast
Disney.
members? Well,
I don't know. I haven't been to Disney since I was 5. I don't know what the official rules are or names.
when it comes to, well, one, you have to, I mean, sorry to spoil the magic, but you have to remember there are humans inside these costumes. Some are either allergic, some are terrified, some love them. So you don't really know which one you're going to get. I have always found Pluto has always been the best because it's a dog.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, Pluto has always been the best when it comes to meeting the dogs. But you can always, you can, like, you can absolutely 100% go get photos with your dog and a character. That's fine. If, though, the character kind of seems a little reserved, don't push the matter of, oh, go say hi, go say hi. Like, don't push the matter. I mean, most characters will kind of, I mean, obviously they can't talk, as we all know. They kind of will like sign and like gesture, like, can I pet? And if they do, and you're okay with it, absolutely. You know, they're allowed to. So I know my girl loves to go meet all the princesses, all the characters, Mickey, Minnie. So if your dog is okay with stuff like that, make sure your dog is okay with a giant furry thing, because these things are kind of scary to dogs. I know my retired girl could care less. Lilo, on the other hand, she was very reserved at first, and her first ever character she met wasn't even in Disney. It was at one of my local minor league baseball games. And she barked at them. I was like, well, this is interesting.
Huh.
But she's never seen a character before. But we worked through it and she was fine. And now she loves them. But you also have to kind of feel what the character themselves is portraying. Are they portraying that they're okay with petting? Or are they like, oh, hi, cute dog, you know, like waving from afar? So you can absolutely go see them. Just kind of read their body language and see if they are comfortable with acknowledging the dog, because they may be allergic. You never know. Or they might be terrified. I've run into that a few times. So, you know, just kind of think about what they are thinking as well.
Okay,
But
and
if your dog likes it, have fun.
yeah, totally. And I think this is just something that needs to just be said. And I think it's something that hopefully someone will hear and just sit with. And that is, not every dog wants to go on a ride. Not every dog wants
No.
to meet a character. And that's okay. You don't need to force them to do something for pictures. You don't need to force them to do something because you think everyone else does it. It's, you have to respect that this is an animal. Yes, it's an animal that's highly trained. Yes, it's an animal that can do a lot of incredible things, but it is an animal. And at the end of the day, stuff can be scary, and
Yes.
you do not want to permanently do psychological harm to your service animal because you felt that societal, or like just that urge of, well, everyone else took a picture with Pluto. I need my dog to have a picture with Pluto, or did we even go to Disney? But your dog is petrified. of Pluto. It you do not want to permanently do psychological damage to your dog because you feel that pressure to do stuff other people are doing. It's not worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I know personally, I've seen all the photos on all the different Disney groups. Yes, they're adorable. But if it's going to hurt your dog in the long run, don't do it. I know, I've personal experience, I damaged my dog when it comes to air compressors. It's not worth the damage. It's not worth the risk. If your dog is terrified of the characters, stay away. You still can get photos in front of the castle or in front of any other, you know, feature that you want to. And you can still say, I went to Disney. Just because you don't have that photo of your dog in Pluto doesn't mean anything.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. Please do what's right by you. Do what's right by your dog. Do not. And yes, there is that pressure to take certain pictures and go meet certain people. It's just, it's not for every dog. It's just not. And, you know, Lincoln would love to meet everybody. He doesn't care. He would meet every princess, everyone. But I know if I had taken June when she was still working, not a chance. She is not interested in meeting anyone. She's not interested in them petting her or loving on her. She is very much like, I have no interest. And so that would have been traumatizing for her. So it's hard to sometimes advocate for what your dog needs when you're the one who wants the picture. You're the one that wants the cool video. Just do what's best by your dog. In the long run, you're going to be so happy that you did. And are there any like kind of other things you think I missed about Disney that are good points or anything that people should know? Because again, I haven't been with a service dog, so I'm not even 100% sure what stuff I would need to know.
The one other thing, honestly, I would always add is it's Florida. If you're going to Disney World, it's Florida. It's always hot. I mean, yes, you can sometimes catch it on, you know, a 70-degree day and every Floridian is freezing their butt off. But if you live, like, in a state that's not Florida and you actually have seasons, then most of these dogs are not accustomed to it. Make sure you research the weather and be prepared for the unexpected, especially if you're going in summer. If you're going in summer, one, good luck. That's all I can say is good luck. But it is normally incredibly hot in Florida. Make sure your dog is hydrated. Yourself is hydrated. If you have, you know, a dog like, I mean, I have labs. I use cooling coats. Make sure you have a cooling coat if, you know, that's what you use for your dog. Shoes. I cannot tell you how many times I have seen people with their dogs without shoes on. Now, if you live in Florida and they are accustomed to that heat, then fine. You know, that's a whole different story. But most of these dogs aren't. And the Musher Secret wax stuff that you can put on their feet, it burns off.
Meant for the snow. It's not meant for the heat. It literally just bakes your dog's foot. Think about, you put oil in a pan to bake things, to make it hot and crispy. Do not put it on your dog's feet for heat. It will either melt off or crispy up their feet. And that is horrible. We don't want
that. No. And most of the parks are, like, they're not all blacktop, but they are, like, darker. Like, so they do attract the sun. It gets very warm. And so shoes. Or I've seen those, like, sticky things that you put on their feet. I don't know if they actually work. But if your dog is not accustomed to shoes, start training now if you're going to Disney World. Because you need to have it just in case. And raincoats. If you are a person that puts your dog in a raincoat, I know I personally do because I have labs. They get the very nasty wet dog smell. I hate wet dog smell. Make sure you have that with you too, because it's Florida. There is pop-up showers and storms everywhere, every day. Even if it says there is a 0% chance, that is a lie. And it will rain at some point. It just is what it is. It's Florida. Nobody understands Florida. So make sure if you have all the necessary gear, water bowls with you. You can take water itself into the park. There is free water stations throughout the park. So, definitely fill up. I've actually had some cast members give me bottled water for my dogs, and that's amazing. Not everybody's going to do that though. So make sure you have water for them. Make sure they're staying hydrated. Also, if you have a larger dog, please, 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 please watch out for bloat. I have seen it happen in the parks before from people's dogs that I know. If you are taking training treats with you, I'm all for it, but please be advised that there's the risk of bloat if you have that large, deep-chested dog. You're not that close to, I mean, there are veterinary hospitals, yes. They're not the closest, and bloat, as we all know, well, or should hopefully know, is very deadly. So just be mindful of that. Be mindful of when your dog last ate a full meal. I know my routine is in the morning, we wake up, I feed my dog, I take them outside to go to the bathroom. I then go back inside, eat myself, and I wait at least an hour before going into the park. Same thing on the return once we get back from the park. They wait an hour before they can eat. And yes, the dogs hate it, but I would rather them hate me for those 60 minutes than potentially risk getting bloat. You also have to worry with the heat. Watch out for heat exhaustion. I've seen dogs literally go down in the park that they were clearly not service dogs, and the people clearly didn't care because I've seen dogs go down before with heat exhaustion. You have to watch out for those signs. There are plenty, plenty, plenty of places you can duck in, get air conditioning, get water, cool down for not only you and your dog. Like, there are plenty of places if you see, the signs of heat exhaustion, get inside. Stay out of the sun if you can. If you're waiting for the parade, sit in the shade. Or if you're in line, see about, getting in some shade. I know Ryobi, I love Ryobi fans. They have those little clip-on fans now. If you can and you're willing to carry it around, carry it for your dog. That personally saved my dog the last, not the last trip, but the trip before that. It was so ungodly hot that that fan saved her on the rides. Because while the rides have air conditioning, not all of them are on like full blast. But I mean, so if you do go to Disney, make sure you research the weather, research how high it's going to be. Make sure your dog's going to be okay. If you can carry around either like a stroller fan, a Ryobi fan, that's going to help your dog and potentially help you. Make sure you take water. If you're going to be in the park for a long time, maybe if when you like stop for lunch yourself, if you do stop, give your dog a little bit of food as well to just kind of keep them going. Not too much, like I already explained, bloat, but just enough to kind of keep their energy up because it is very hot. And try to avoid the hot months if you can. I mean, I know that's really hard to do, but my family and I, we personally like to try to go in like December, like November through like January. It's normally a little bit cooler, not always, but sometimes it is a little bit cooler. And those are the months we try to go. I mean, now, grant, next year we're going in October, but Yeah, just be mindful of the heat and be mindful of your dog and what they are accustomed to. I know my black lab hated the heat. She still hates the heat to this day. My yellow lab, she could keep going in the heat all day long. She could care less. So just be mindful of, what type of dog you have and what they prefer. And if it's too high, then maybe make it a pool day at the resort and, keep your dog in air conditioning and then go in to the park at, when it gets a little cooler out when the sun's starting to go down. There is nothing wrong with that. I've done it. I've also done where we go in first thing in the morning, do rope drop, and then you come out of the park around like noon one where the peak heat is. You go back to the resort, take a nap. I always took a nap at least. And you have that time in the resort, cool down. And then like five, like 4 to like 6, somewhere in that range, you can then go back into the park and it's a lot cooler, or normally is a little bit cooler. And that also helps. But just be mindful of how long you're going to be in the park. If your dog's not used to doing, 10 hours, don't push it. Most people are like, yeah, I want to stay for the fireworks. Awesome. Number one, is your dog even okay with fireworks? Because if they're not, then don't. Because when it comes to fireworks, Disney is probably the best place for fireworks. And they put on an amazing show, and that's what it's about. It's all about the show, and that's awesome. But they're loud, they're intense. If your dog is not used to it or doesn't like it, either get headphone protection, the well, not headphones, but the ear protections, or leave. There's always other ways to watch the fireworks from a distance where they're not as loud. You can do stuff like going onto the beach at the Polynesian Resort. You can go into the, if you have already been in the Contemporary, you can go to the California Grill, which is up at the very tippy top of the resort. And you can actually watch the fireworks from there, which that's actually kind of trippy because you see the castle kind of from the side. So you can actually see how far back the fireworks is being launched from, which is pretty interesting. But there's other ways to watch the fireworks without being in the park. And if you don't know how your dog's gonna do, maybe just stand at the ticket and transportation center because you can still hear them, but it's not as loud because it's farther away from the park. And if they're good with the fireworks, then go in. Or try it again the next day or something like that. Most people, when they go, they're going to do multiple days in the park and they're going to do like Magic Kingdom more than once. I know my family does. If you don't know how your dog's going to do, either do training at home, blare it on YouTube and see how your dog reacts, go find fireworks displays that they have every once in a while, especially 4th of July. See how your dog does. If your dog does not like it, please don't stay there because I will never forget the first time I went with Lilo. There legit was a dog running loose in Magic Kingdom.
Oh,
And
geez.
it was not pretty because I mean like the person was absolutely mortified. And I can't blame them. I would be mortified.
Yeah.
But clearly, they didn't do the training, and the dog was so scared. And I felt so bad, honestly, that I really couldn't do anything because the dog straight up ran. I hope they caught the dog. I really honestly don't know. I never saw the dog or the human again, but the dog was petrified. So please do yourself and your dog a favor. If your dog doesn't like it, don't stay. They launch them off every night at the same exact time. So it's never a surprise. They do, though, talking about surprise, they do have the stage show, which, again, though, is always at the same time. I don't actually remember when the stage show goes off because I never actually watched the stage show. But they do have a couple little fireworks in there. Not much. It's like two or three, but still, even that can spook your dog. So this, again, is a controversial thing. Please just leash your dog. I really don't care how well your dog is trained off leash. My dog's amazing. I'm never doing it in Disney World. So just have your dog on a leash no matter what. That way, if the stage show does go off and your dog does get spooked, your dog's on a leash. Put it on a leash. You're also not going to have as many issues. I understand if it gets in the way of your disability. Okay, fine. But there are ways around it. This is a huge, huge, huge amusement park. It's not worth any of the risks to you or your dog, and the potential of being kicked out of Disney too. Like, they're really cracking down on reasons to kick you out of the park. And the latest one is the worst one for me because I love to do it. Like, good example, going into the Haunted Mansion in the stretching room. It's the very classic, narration that's on every single Haunted Mansion Halloween decor. And most people memorize it. I know my family does. We like to recite it. They're now kicking you out of Disney World if you recite it.
Oh, jeez, I had
So,
no idea.
yes, they're really, really cracking down on reasons to kick you out. And part of me says good, because some of the things they really needed to kick out like way before. But just make sure you are safe with your dog. Have your dog in gear unless it's too hot and you can't. Okay. But try to find a way to at least mark your dog. You're going to have less issues. And even if it's just a leash wrap, I know I do the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, and one year I was Jessie and my dog was Bullseye. It was the cutest costume ever,
Oh my God,
but
that's so cute.
it was really cute. It was like the cutest thing, and she even had like a whole little saddle and everything. It was adorable.
Oh my God.
But she still had two patches on her back, on what I called her little saddle pad. It literally was just a piece of fabric, but she still had two patches on her that said that she was a service dog. And I mean, now grant, it was Bullseye theme, but it still labeled her. Same thing with a leash wrap. Use a leash wrap or a collar or something. Find some way, if it's too hot for you to actually gear up your dog, find a way to at least mark them. You're going to have less issues with security and cast members and the people in general, because they will at least see. You have to be mindful that a lot of these people are coming from foreign countries. They just are. Most don't speak English. And if you have the ability to get patches in Spanish, awesome, great, do it. I personally have never done it because I've always forgotten before going away. And then I literally, when I think of it, I'm like, oh shoot, I wish I would have done that. Most don't understand the English. Most don't know what service dogs are.
That makes
Just
sense.
be respectful. Especially if a kid comes running up to your dog, be respectful. Don't be that person that's like, oh my God, grab your child. No. Simply, no, thank you. She or he is working, and just try to block the kid from your dog. That's all you need. You don't need any screaming, hollering, or anything. I've been with people that literally start screaming and hollering, and I'm like, why? There's no point. You're getting nothing accomplished.
Yeah,
So
getting
just be
louder does not
respectful.
get the message about out better.
No, it doesn't. And then it makes it look bad on the rest of us that are also in the park, that they see later on and they're like, oh, there's another one. I bet you they're gonna yell. I've had that too. And me personally, I don't care if you pet my dog as long as she's not actively tasking or we're trying to get somewhere. If somebody asks me if they want a pet, okay, sure. I don't know what's going on in their life. Maybe their dog just recently passed, or maybe they're just having a bad day. Okay. If my dog's not actively tasking, okay, whatever. Don't care. So just be on the respectful side. But honestly, have a great time. Have a great time with your dog. Take all the photos you can. Even if it's a, if even if you think it's a stupid photo of your dog on the pirates, it's not, because you're gonna look back on that and be like, oh, that was that fun trip. I mean, I have photos, I have stupid photos of my dog sitting on the rides all the time. And I look back on those photos now and I'm like, that was the trip that I went, and we went to, X, Y, and Z, and we had a really good time. Like, you're gonna remember it by those photos. Take the photos. And, if you have the ability to do the photo pass people, do that too. Because, some of those shots you're never gonna get again. And I know I have photos from this last trip that we took in January where I didn't even know I was pregnant. And I look back on those photos now and I'm like, wow, times have already changed since just January. And
Yeah. Oh my
you're gonna
gosh.
remember it. And I mean, like, this trip that we're gonna be going on in October of next year, it will be my first time with, us as a family of three. Well, if you count the dog, four. So just take the photos. Even if you think it's a dumb photo, take it, because you're always going to look back on it and be like, I remember that trip. It's never going to be dumb. You can always delete it later if you don't like it. But
Yeah.
take the photos, take the photo pass people if you can, because it is extra money. And they've changed that too, but that's a whole different topic that's not pertaining to service dogs. But if you have the ability, do it. Have that fun time. Enjoy it with your family or whoever you're going with and your dog. I mean, not that they're gonna remember it, but you will. And that's honestly, that's all that matters. Just have fun. And if you and your dog don't like it, then just don't go back. That's fine. It's a
Yeah.
shame that you don't like it, because I love it, but that's also me. I've been to Disney World way too many times.
Which is why I'm talking to you about it.
Yeah, I've been too many to honestly even count. Like, my first trip, I was 6 months old. I'm now 28, almost 29. So, and we've gone at least 2 to 3 times every single year.
Oh my
So,
gosh. Yeah,
yeah,
you need
we.
to take me because I haven't been since I was
I
like
got
five.
you. I got you. I mean, now we got a kid to drag along, but that's okay.
That's
We
all
can
right.
do it.
I'm pretty much like dragging around a kid, so it works out well.
It is. It really, honestly, even if you go with like adults, your dog is basically your child. So if you ever think, oh, well, it's just going to be an appendage, or you're not going to have a good time because you're dragging around a dog, honestly, as long as you just take 5 extra seconds every day to think about what you might need and what your dog might need, you'll be fine. It's a lot of people stress and stress and stress and be like, all right, this is my packing list. What else do I need? Don't do that.
Yeah.
If you want to put out a packing list, go for it. I know I personally do. I still do, even though I've been there 80 million times. But I also just have horrible memory. So, it's just, I don't want to forget anything. And now with having a baby, you got everything else to think about too. But make a packing list, that's fine. But don't just overstress about it and constantly keep yourself up at night thinking about it. If you want to get the cute little patches, Disney themed patches, go for it. Because honestly, I have so many, they're well worth it. And the cast members love them too. If you want to get the cute vests, and harnesses and leash wraps, all Disney themed, go for it. There's never, you can only, I mean, you can't only use it once, but I know I personally, I only use mine in Disney. So if you're like me, you're only going to use it in Disney. So have fun with it.
Yeah.
And don't stress. It's really, truly not as stressful as people think it is. Just be mindful. It's a lot of people around. There's major crowds at times. Avoid, if you can, avoid the busy months around holidays, spring break. It hasn't, they haven't come back because of COVID, but in the summer, you have a lot of the tourist countries coming over to Disney World. And because they always have the little flags walking around. Now, they haven't been back though since COVID, so I don't know if that, if they'll be coming back. I don't know. But that's always something to be mindful of in summer. Just be mindful that there are so many people. And if you don't do well in crowds, your dog doesn't do well in crowds, you're not ready for Disney World. Go someplace else that is less crowds. If you have the chance, go to a local amusement park, train there, get all your nervous jitteriness out there, and then have fun in Disney because there is no experience like Disney World. It is truly the most magical place on earth, and you can't go wrong in Disney because it's just perfect. Like, there's nothing wrong with Disney other than they kick you out because you recite the stretching, which is really sad.
Oh, that does make me sad. I'm glad. At least I don't
I
know it.
know. Well, I do. And
Oh.
it's very sad because now I can't even say it. I have to say it in
Oh,
my head.
it's not the same.
No, I'll whisper it to my son. That's fine. No, that doesn't count.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly.
but just have fun. Don't stress about it too much. If you're that concerned about it, maybe don't go.
Yes, I
Or
agree.
maybe make alternate arrangements. There is a doggy daycare on property. It's called Best Friends Pet Care. It is right across from Port Orleans. I think it's Riverside. It might be French Quarter. It's across from. But it's across from one of the Port Orleans. They are amazing. I've actually, my non-service dogs, I've actually boarded there before. We drove down with them, which I don't recommend doing if you're from Maryland because it's an 18-hour car ride.
Oof.
But if you do have the ability to drive and you are going to take, non-service dogs, they are amazing. And the beauty of it is, if your dog doesn't do well, you can board them there and you can pick them up when you're done the park. It's
That's
beautiful.
brilliant.
I mean, I know, like, when my girl was like on the verge of retiring, there was one day we took, it was actually on our last trip we took with her as my service dog before she fully retired. There was one day she was like, "Screw you, mom. I am not moving." And I'm like, you know what? Okay, fine. I'm not going to force her to do something she doesn't want to do because then she won't do her job.
Yes, agreed.
And I'm like, okay. I took her to the Port Orleans, well, not Port Orleans, but I took her to Best Friends Pet Care and she spent the day there. I came back when we were only spending half a day in the park anyway, but you can't leave your dog in the resort room anyway. So it's like, don't do that. But since you can't do that, I took her to the doggy daycare. I came back and she was like, "Oh, you're back. Cool. Can we go back to bed?" It was so much like relief on me and her because I could still go enjoy myself in the park. I had my family with me and like I had my husband. So like I know if anything were to go down, I at least have the humans with me.
Yeah.
Even though, yes, I don't get that pre-alert. Okay, fine. I still have, if you're going with family, you still have that support system. And it was also so much relief on her because she did not have to walk around the park. for any length of time.
Yeah.
And it was well worth it. Actually wasn't even that expensive, but it was well worth the money to just have her being able to relax that day. And then honestly, the next day she was like, all right, where are we going today?
Yeah. Oh,
So
that's awesome.
she just needed that break. If your dog doesn't do well, don't be afraid to do it. It doesn't mean your dog is a failure. It doesn't mean you are a failure. It just means your dog's not ready for Disney. Honestly, if your dog doesn't have at least like one little what the heck moment, I'm pretty sure something's actually wrong with your dog because it's Disney. I mean, there is nothing that compares to it. It's so loud, so busy, the crowds, hustle and bustle, trying to go on rides, see shows. It's insane.
Yeah.
And it's not for every person or every dog. It really takes a special dog to be able to tackle Disney. I know it's kind of like the whole, I've seen people, I want to take my dog to Disney before they retire. If your dog doesn't actually like do well in crowds, maybe that's not the best place to take them.
Yeah,
I
and I feel like
mean,
a lot of people are doing it for themselves. It's an animal. It doesn't know what's
yes.
going on. It
They don't know what Disney is.
no, they have no idea. And so you're just projecting what you want onto your dog, and just take a step back and realize it is a dog. It does
Yeah.
not have a favorite princess. It does not have a it doesn't. It's an animal.
Well, Lilo does.
Lilo does? What?
Lilo actually does. She really loves Tiana.
Really? Okay, I guess I'm corrected.
I think it's actually because of her dress. For
Okay.
some reason, Lilo loves to roll, and it's only on Tiana. I don't
Huh.
know why, but she loves to roll on Tiana's dress.
That's
I
pretty
don't get
cute.
it. Oh, it's adorable. But she loves Tiana. So, I mean, yes, I think dogs can get their favorite, so to speak, but dogs live in the moment. They
Yes.
don't live in the past or the future. They don't know a trip to Disney is coming up. They don't know a trip to Disney just happened. They live literally in the moment.
Yes.
So don't do it for them. You're doing it for yourself. And if it's a situation of, I want to take my dog to Disney before they retire, is it worth it? You also have
Yeah.
to think you're walking a crap ton. And I mean a crap ton. It is insane how much you actually walk. And is your dog up for that?
Yeah.
Honestly, looking back on it now, I wish, and it's really sad to say this because I enjoyed the last trip with my girl before she retired. I wish I actually didn't take her on that trip
Yeah.
because of how much it was for her. She's not, for anybody that actually knows my retired dog, B, knows she is lazier than lazy. And it was actually for me, and it didn't register until after the trip that was actually for me. And
Yeah.
but we actually went on the trip for my aunt before she passed away. But we took her, obviously, because I was going, and it just didn't do anything for her, anything good at least.
Oh,
You know, I
yeah.
think honestly, she was just way more tired than she really should have been. Well, yes, we stayed at the cabins at Fort Wilderness. It was nice that it was pet friendly. She could be a dog. We could walk around there. But actually going into the parks, looking back right now, looking at the photos of the trip that, you know, it just, you can see it in her face that she was like, why are we here?
Yeah.
And I wish truly I did not take her. And honestly, I've apologized to my poor dog so many times for doing that too. And it's not worth it. It's really, truly not worth it. Is it fun? Yes. It's a lot of work, but it is fun. But is your dog wanting to do it? Is your dog able to do it? I know people that have, you know, worked their dog right up to literally the point that, like, past the point that they should have been retired. And they're still walking around Disney World. And
Yeah.
you can legit see the pain in their dog's eyes.
Oh.
it's not worth it at that point. And I mean, luckily, yes, my one dog is now done. She probably honestly will, she doesn't care when I leave and go to Disney. She doesn't even know I'm gone half the time. So it's one of the things that you're doing it for yourself. Try to
Yeah.
think about the dog too. Because it's also their legs that are walking and their feet. Yes, they have four versus two, but their feet and legs get tired too. And especially as they age, they get arthritis.
Yeah.
And they can't tell you it hurts. We know that our bodies hurt, but they can't tell you. So just be mindful if you're really wanting to do that retirement trip, just be mindful of the dog
Yeah.
and who's going to be walking the park with you. Because now, if you're doing like a short little trip, like it's a 2-day trip, you're not spending much time in the park at all, you're going in, like doing a few rides, coming out, go for it. Have fun. Get all those photos you want. But if you're spending full days in the park, like from rope drop to closing, it's probably not a good idea.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And now B lives the life of the couch potato.
Yes, she does. I can verify that. She
And she
is.
loves it.
Yes, she does. She is the laziest dog I've ever seen.
Hey, but she loves food.
That's true. And she loves picking things up, so it's a win.
Yeah. So I mean, she still sometimes, quote unquote works by giving me stuff from the floor, but that's about it. She's like,
Oh,
ask this, you got this, I'm done. But you
yep.
mean that like now Lilo goes to Disney World, and I think honestly, Lilo actually enjoys it more than B ever did, because Lilo actually enjoys the rides because
Oh.
she is a major water dog. And any of the water rides, she's like, okay, mom, I really want to go in the water. And she'll like stick her head like right on the boat and she'll be like, oh gosh, resist the
Oh.
temptation to jump in the water now.
Oh my gosh, she's so cute.
She really like she actually and I think she truly enjoys the hustle and bustle of Disney, but she's also a dog that loves to go.
Yes.
B was never like
No.
So I mean, yeah, you have different dogs. Lilo literally looks forward to getting up every morning and going to whatever park next. Where B was like, I don't actually want to get up. I would like
Yeah.
to just lay in bed. So just be mindful of the dog you have and
Yeah.
have a good time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much for getting on with me and talking about your experience and just all the information you had about Disney. It's super helpful. Oh my God, perfect timing. It says we have 10 minutes left, so we'll just wrap that up then. Thank you again for meeting with me. I absolutely just loved hearing about Disney. I'm excited to go to Universal.
All right, see ya.
Bye.